2 Timothy chapter 4. We're still studying this thing about they shall be turned unto fables. And again, it the turned shall be turned is a treple, and it means to twist out. It implies a violent thing. It's not just turning your head. And it, as I said, it's the word where you would that would be used if your shoulder went out of socket or your elbow went out of joint. So it causes you that. You lose discernment once you've done that. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I sure would like a glass of water. It's funny how you miss the simplest things. Chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, what is the lie? There's only one, really one lie. What is that one lie? What is the great transgression, is what the psalmists have talked about. The great transgression, the fruit of it was the fall, obviously. But the fruit of that and the lie is self-protection, self-realization, self-anything. And the instant that you're turned away from the truth onto fables, the biggest fable is that you can improve yourself with self-effort. So self-realization is the biggest fable there is. So you. What does it say? God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. And once you believe the big lie, then you get caught up in everything, every fable, everything. And everything troubles you because everything isn't going the way you think it should. I want to talk about something else. In our Bible study last night, something was said, and it made me realize that there's something that we have never really maybe talked about in terms of the essential issue of the mystery of God, which is the blood of Christ. We've talked a lot about the blood, but we haven't really studied what is the purpose of the blood. The scriptures say that it was given because of our trespasses and sin, that we might be forgiven. But stop and think a minute. If the predicate of Christianity is a lie, if the scriptures are clear that you die on the cross, all men died with Christ, he was the last Adam, then the blood has nothing to do with what I used to be or what I did before. The blood is for the offenses now that after you're born again that you commit, i.e. you consider the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Every time you leave peace, every time you think there's a problem, every time then you've trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant. So the blood of Christ is for his church to be cleansed, not for Adam. Does everybody understand that? It's not Adam being cleansed. Adam died. So it's for our offenses on a daily basis. Is everybody?
But we're also right, if we repent, and through repentance, aren't we resurrected?
Yeah, but the repentance is, Adam can't repent. The human race can't repent.
No, then there's no resurrection.
Well, of course there is. Resurrection happens when you accept your death. It's automatic.
But when you accept your death, you also accept your repentance. So
well,
you can be resurrected.
That's terms. Right now, if you accept your death and repentance is, why are you repenting? Because you're dead. Harry doesn't need to repent.
I think we've got a circular argument.
Well, anyway. Let's go to First John. It just struck me that people think that Adam, the blood of Christ, was for Adam. It's not. I don't know why I decided to do this morning, but it's because I'm thirsty and hungry and uncomfortable. First John 1. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Really, the word should be offenses there. Cleanses us from all offenses. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what happens. That's why every time you despise somebody, that's an offense that needs forgiveness. Every time you don't love your brother and everyone around you from the heart, it's an offense. And it needs forgiveness. Every time you think that your situation is so bad that it can't be dealt with, and you're about to give up, that's an offense. Every time you leave the mercy seat, that's an offense to God. It's his holiness that we're about, not what we did before we're believers. The only way I can forgive what I did before I was a believer is to recognize I was dead. I am dead. Is this important to anybody else?
Well, may not.
Everybody may have already known it, but
it seems like the blood first deals with all the stuff that you've done, and then it continues to deal with the stuff.
But the blood doesn't deal with what you've done because you're dead.
Yeah,
you're dead spiritually, not physically.
You know, the word that we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay, this will
Everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay.
Verse 14. We can go to 50 other places, but this one is, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Dead is nekros. Doesn't mean spiritually dead, it means dead. nekros. Now we get to what the real issue is. You have never lived. There's been somebody masquerading as you all these years. Let's go to Colossians 3 real quick. Just to the right a few pages. Chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, nekros, and this new life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. We are buried in baptism. You can't be buried unless you're dead. Now, what happens then? I'm not saying you can't think about the blood, but I'm saying that as believers, we don't understand the blood enough to understand that it's for our all of the offenses that we are doing on a daily basis. And when we understand that these offenses are what the blood of Christ is edifying us for, because really the bottom line, the end result of the blood of Christ is access, it's entrance, it's in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat, in the very presence of God. Go to John 14:20. One verse. It's the only verse in the Bible that has the three positions that really define salvation. Listen. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's the meaning of oneness. And we are where He is. Where He is on the mercy seat. His spirit is running all over the place. His spirit is without hindrance in all of time, back and forth, in time and space. But what is his spirit doing? It's convicting us of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because we believe not. That's not a mental assent there. That's a total 100% reliance on him. He convicts us of righteousness, because the only righteousness is that he's gone to the Father. The only thing you can be ever right about in time and space. And he's convincing us of judgment because the prince of the world has already been judged. And that's the only judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's not. The Holy Spirit isn't running around healing our boo-boos. He does a lot of stuff. But the three main things he does is to make us know that on that day, which is this day, today, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's all about that intimacy. Yeah, there's no more separation.
And that actually heals you, if you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's what it's talking about. That's everything.
That's everything. Amen? I'm not sure why I even said it, and I'm sorry I said it now, and Sue made fun of it. Don't mess with me today. I'm on my way to a disgusting thing to happen.
Thanks for sharing with your radio
audience. Colonoscopy. Take it big, guy. I'm tired of talking.
I'm afraid you can't even talk at all.
I can't.